Item number one, Org Unit 8000, Department of Health and Human Services, page 264.
All right. Mr. Chair, Supervisors, I'll try to be brief here. There's some overlap with the information I provided you with as it relates to the Behavioral Health Division. So in those instances, I'll try to quickly summarize those issues. Throughout this budget, Department of Health and Human Services focused on implementing performance-based budgeting, invested in evidence-based programs, maximizing revenues, and reducing overheads caused by collaborating with other departments, streamlining services, and achieving more efficiencies. In this budget, our operations responsibilities were transferred over to Department of Administration, which resulted in an 18 FTE decrease to the department. Our funding for 211 Impact, as well as the Wisconsin Home Energy Assistance Program, is maintained at 2013 levels. In delinquency and court services, the division is focused on detention reforms and a movement towards evidence-based programs. We're currently being provided with technical assistance from the Annie Casey Foundation to eliminate the inappropriate and unnecessary use of secure detention, minimize rearrest and failure to appear rates pending adjudication, ensure appropriate conditions of confinement in secure facilities, redirect public finances to sustain successful reforms, and reduce racial and ethnic disparities. As a part of this effort, we will strengthen our collaboration and information sharing among our partners. We'll move towards proper screening to ensure that youth are placed in appropriate settings. We'll be very intentional and continue our movement towards evidence-based decision-making. And we'll have more program and evaluation because we want to make sure that the programs we have in place are truly working. I want to thank Supervisor Stamper and Supervisor Bowen for your involvement in this effort. We really appreciate that. We also are receiving technical assistance from a federal grant. This grant involves using evidence-based tools to assess how well programs and services match up to what the research says is effective in reducing recidivism for our youth. We'll use this information to work with our programs to make necessary improvements to maximize their effectiveness. We'll use this information to align our policies and practices to maximize the effectiveness of our system operations. The long-term outcomes of this initiative are to decrease recidivism rates, improve outcomes, and reduce public costs. Consistent with our reforms, delinquency and court services is investing $500,000 in expanding community alternatives to reduce reliance on secure confinement. This consists of availability of predispositional monitoring programs for youth pending court, the use of global positioning technology as a monitoring enhancement, community alternatives for youth who have been adjudicated delinquent, expansion of the alternative sanction program, decreasing the use of shelter in favor of more evidence-based alternatives, and we are also going to increase our rate for group homes based on actual costs of operations and service utilization. Delinquency and Court Services is redirecting the Youth Sports Authority funds in support of these new community investment alternatives mentioned above, and this will be consistent with our movement towards evidence-based programs. In the 2014 budget includes an increase in youth AIDS revenue by a little over $1 million, which is based on the rates included in the adopted state budget. This is good news considering that over the last several years we've received reductions from the state in youth AIDS. Delinquency and Court Services is investing $37,900 in e-time reporting system. This is a small but very significant investment. This system will allow Delinquency and Court Services to share accurate information regarding juvenile supervision status with law enforcement officials and the criminal justice agencies. This will really assist law enforcement in being more responsive to crime. The Milwaukee Accountability Program, the MCAP program, is maintained in 2014. The target group is youth who are at risk for juvenile state corrections placement. This program provides youth the opportunity to be locally served, saves money, there's better coordination around discharge, and ongoing support that leads to better outcomes. The 21 youth have participated in the MCAP program since its inception, and we will have a report coming to the board in the near future to discuss the results of this effort. Department of Health and Human Services gains 121 new positions as a result of EMS, RAP, and also the Community Services Branch transitioning from BHD over to us. I already talked about the reasons why we're doing that. I want to highlight the fact that RAP is going to increase services to 150 youth, which results in a $20 million budget increase, substantial new services for youth. Very excited about that. The EMS subsidy paid to municipalities is funded at $1.5 million to reflect the four-year agreement we have with them. Community Services Branch includes about $2.2 million of community investments. Again, Peel Run Drop-In Center, CRS, expanded case management, families moving forward, investments in the Latino community, evidence-based treatment model, COLA adjustments, prescriber service, and TCM pilot. And there are other investments from other divisions, as I mentioned earlier, that total over $4.8 million that really helps us with our redesigning our system. We are proposing to outsource the CSP programs to community-based providers. We already mentioned that. We talked about the roughly close to $800,000 to help with our central clients' relocations. And then we proposed to decrease funding by $350,000 to the two crisis resource centers to account for billable services. Please keep in mind that from the very beginning, we've told community advocates that we were going to provide them with the $850,000, and the total amount was to help with upfront startup costs. It was never the intention to remain that level of funding, because once they had the ability to draw down federal funds, that would help with their overall operations. So this reduction reflects the fact that a new provider is going to be able to come in here and be able to bill for those services. In addition to that, there was an underutilization of the beds. So we're going to move from 12 beds to 10 beds. On an ongoing basis, we want to do utilization reviews just to make sure that we have the right capacity at the right time. And as was mentioned previously, we will have a Northside CRC up and running relatively soon. We are, let me see, we talked about the access recovery. The housing division, we work with budget and accounting to reconcile the budget for actual experience. This included a review of all the housing programs and related service allocations. The housing division has been running at a deficit for the last several years. We just wanted to put, that's why we're putting $1 million to make the program whole so that it won't continue to run in a deficit moving in the future. We have the 40 permanent supportive housing scattered sites, which we talked about. We're continuing pathways to permanent housing, and to make sure that it can operate for a full year, we added another $70,000 to that. For Disability Services Division, we mentioned about the $250,000 for the new Crisis Resource Center for specifically for individuals with intellectual disabilities. We're also adding $154,000 for a crisis response team that would help individuals with intellectual disabilities and mental health issues as well. This will allow the crisis mobile team coverage to expand on evenings and weekends, specifically for this population. We also have adult purchase of service contracts will be decreased by $303,000, and this is due to the entitlement of family care and their ability to cover these services and costs. Based on prior year experience, delinquency and court services will increase their case management and CLTS revenue by $237,000. And general assistance, burials, and IDAP programs will reflect an overall savings of $27,000 to reflect which reflects our 2013 expenditures. That's my overview of Health and Human Services.
Any questions? Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question about the positions that you are cutting in the detention center. It looks like there are very few positions, but the ones that are being cut are, looks like correction officers, and there was one other position, but I don't see it.
The page are you referring to?
268. And the juvenile detention center. So four full-time human service workers and then two juvenile correction officers. Want to get some insight on that decision and how can we make sure that this entity is being staffed the way that it should.
Good afternoon. My name is Tom Wanton, Administrator of Lincoln Court Services, Mr. Chairman and County Board, County Supervisor Bowen. The HSW positions are in fact not in the detention center itself. Those positions, as it came before the Finance Committee earlier in this month or September, I think it was September, we organized some positions. We created those positions are vacant positions that, and we reallocated. Reclassified six positions to absorb some of the duties. These positions are in the budget. They show as HSWs, but they're actually custody specialists. Those are individuals who screen kids coming to the detention center. So I can see why one would think it's the detention center, but they would screen juveniles to make a determination of whether or not you are to be admitted into the facility or diverted back into the community, who are brought there by local law enforcement. What we have found initially, those positions were created in the 90s. Throughout the efforts that we have done in the recent years, we have reduced the amount of youth being referred or being brought out to the detention center, and also as the crime rates has also gone down. We basically made the decision is to take existing positions, let them absorb some of the duties, because those duties end up were starting to become part-time duties, to be honest with you. So they absorbed it. And what we did is when the reallocation and reclassification process came, in order to pay or compensate the individuals for the additional duties, we're using the vacant positions that were created by these positions to offset the cost of that. And we also, may not be in the budget, but we also simply save overtime associated with those responsibilities because of those vacant positions that we utilized to pay for this cost, because they were being filled with strictly by overtime costs with other staff, other HSW staff performing those duties on an overtime basis. I hope that answers your question.
Just about the second is the revenues increase 1.2, and that it looks like the delinquency in court divisions as a whole. I just want to understand how did that jump so high?
Well, part of it is from, Alice, you want to answer or you want me to answer it?
Sorry?
Well, part of it is the fact that better than expected rates that were determined through the state budget, they were lower than anticipated, the cost of juveniles being committed to the Department of Corrections. And the other part of it, bluntly, is our successful implementation of new programs for the judiciary to use to divert kids from corrections and keep them in the community, such as the MCAP program. As the members may be aware, that each juvenile that's committed to the Department of Correction is an annual cost of $105,000. So if you divert 10 kids, that's a significant savings.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Stamper.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. That was my question. You know, as far as the results of the program, how many youth have completed successfully in addition to the savings that has resulted from those successful youth? So I don't know, is that ready yet?
Well, the program was approved by the county board in September of last year. In July of last year for implementation in September. The first juvenile did not arrive until late October.
Right.
So the reality is no one has had time to finish because it's a year program. We will begin results at the end of this month and starting next month. Youth will be coming off the program on a successful basis. We did, however, have at least, I believe, four youth who did not have successful completion who end up being placed in correctional placement.
Hey, tell me, how many are back in the community, though?
Currently, right now, is approximately 12 youth in the community.
And they have to complete their 6 months?
They have 7 months in the community.
7 months, okay.
First 5 months in a secure setting.
Okay. All right, and these percentages for 2013 and 2014 budget under the performance measures, which do these correlate with? Okay, you got 75% that successfully completed the first time juvenile offenders program?
Correct.
But I don't know the difference between that and a subsequent referral. I mean, if you don't get a subsequent referral, that means you're successful as well.
That means that you complete the program within, and you say no new referrals for over a year. For first-time offenders?
After you complete the program.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, that's we're trying to get a system ready that they complete the program.
For a year. Okay. So which number does this 75% reflect?
That means that we want 75 of the youth who refer to this program to successfully complete the program with no new charges.
Right. Which number? Which category? Is this the number of youth brought to the juvenile detention center?
Which one? The first time offender?
2,211. Is that that number?
I don't have it in front of me, so I can't tell you.
Okay. Show them right quick. Which number? Out of the 75%, which number does that reflect?
I think he's asking, is it
the admissions or the ones that are brought?
The total number on the above page are the total number of referrals. That will include first-time offenders, repeat offenders,
okay,
et cetera, and some persons, obviously, depends upon the charge, are not eligible for a first-time offender program. It's a serious, too serious of a charge.
Do you have the percentage?
Not with me right now.
All right. Well, I know you do because that's something we used to have to report.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. I got a question about the juvenile detention center. How long have we been operating it?
I believe. Well, actually, the original was on 12th and Belize in that area, but it's been operating out at the Children's Court Center since 1962, I believe.
1962. And it's always been 120 bed.
No. In 1995, it was expanded from 88 beds to 120 beds.
So since 1995, we're at 120 beds?
Correct.
And then, but for 2014, you feel the need to create a position of deputy superintendent?
That is correct.
I noticed that there were other, that you wanted to add some nursing staff too, and the only line item that I can find is that these changes result in increased costs of $182,884. How much are you envisioning paying a deputy superintendent?
I believe the question, Mr. Chairman, I believe that the $70,000 was what I thought in the budget line for that position.
That's correct.
But Mr. Chair, there's no additional cost for that position because we're reclassifying the superintendent position and giving that person some additional duties, so she's not getting, there's already a person there, it's not a new position, a new person coming into that position. It's just a person that's going to take on some additional responsibilities. And,
I thought you asked about the deputy superintendent. Is that correct, Your Chairman?
Mm-hmm.
That's not correct.
No. Okay, that's
sorry.
Fine. So you are asking us to create a deputy superintendent.
Yes. In past budgets, due to budget constraints, we had to eliminate a deputy superintendent position approximately 10 years ago, and it caused difficulties. And I've asked, when I was appointed to this position, I've asked Hector Colon to reinstate that position because of the administrative duties that are required for it, particularly I want to make sure that we continue to be in compliance with the national standards and annual certification of the Department of Corrections, and also as we broaden the duties of the management team there, as they have taken up additional duties than traditional ones, the ones I mentioned earlier regarding screening youth that come into the facility.
So you mentioned budget constraints. I mean, you may have noticed we have budget constraints this year.
Yes.
And the county executive has proposed a no property tax levy increase, but then we're supposed to create a deputy superintendent.
Yes. What I'm trying to may I answer?
Sure, go ahead.
Chairperson, chairman. what we're trying to do is, I want to make sure there's quality assurance being done. You know, we want to make sure that the facility continues to run at the highest standards. And as things continue to get more complicated with federal mandates changing, TRIA, et cetera, coming into, TRIA is the Prison Rape Elimination Act. And as those standards have constantly been increasing, the duties have changed. And I'll be blunt, I was a previous superintendent, okay? I'm no longer there. I want to make sure that those traditions and that standard continues at the highest level possible, and it needs to be done, and we don't have enough management staff. We've had reports from previous, I know we made soft decisions, but previous reports have always indicated that the management at the level at the detention center has always been undermanaged. There have never been enough managers for the number of staff and the number of residents.
I think every department in this county would probably make that same argument. Probably. I mean,
but these are independent. It's not me making that argument and talking about independent studies, including internally and recommended from other departments, including the state of Wisconsin.
And then I'll ask you the same question, Director Colon, that I asked for the last department, where I see you went down 50 employees from, as long as we're talking about the same number, 469.6 to 419.4. How many administrative positions are among those 50?
We'll have to get back to you.
Okay. Maybe Mr. Weddle can add that to his written questions that you can reply to. That'd be helpful to know.
Sure.
Thank you. Any other questions from committee on? Go ahead.
Thank you, Chairman. I thought you were the deputy superintendent. What's your title?
I'm administrator of Lexington Court Services.
Okay. You remember Mavis McCullen? What position was she?
Yes, deputy superintendent. That's the position we lost, and it was a critical position.
Yeah, when did we lose that?
I believe around 2000.
Yeah,
I remember that's about 2001, 2002. And that
you
year.
Haven't had one since?
No.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
We do have someone from the public that wishes to speak on item one. Patricia Rogers, representing District Council 48, speaking against.
Well, I'm not sure that it's technically against. I have many questions. And I'm speaking for District Council 48, and also I'm a juvenile probation officer. I work with Tom every day. Consider him a friend. Chairman and supervisors, I have concerns, as someone just asked again, about what are we talking about? Workers versus administrators. The administrative supervisory positions are filled like that. The workers, the POs, it took forever to get 5 positions filled. I truly ask that you not eliminate or defund or whatever it is, what the rest of the positions, the human service workers / probation department, it's needed. They're implementing many, many, many new programs, and they're complicated, and they're work-intensive, and we're not getting more staff, but we're getting more work. We're responsible to see the kids on at least a monthly basis, some of the more serious kids, which I am one of the probation officers who is responsible for the FOCUS program. They're the most serious offenders who are on the line for going to DOC. And now there's all these new, I don't know where, kind of lost my train of thought. But we're getting we have all these new programs being put in, more and more work, but our numbers are stagnant. The issue of taking the custody intake workers out of out of the detention center and making them human service worker probation officers still does not fill that void. Now, supervisors are going to do their, even though it always was a an employee position rather than a management position, they're taking on those duties. And I question the savings. I know Tom was talking about other workers are doing it and they're getting paid overtime for it. Now that's being put on to, now the supervisors are going to do that job. Well, they're paid more than we are anyway, so I don't know that the money thing comes out better than having full-time custody intake workers. And I believe that we still, you know, instead of eliminating these positions, we need to fill them. Again, we have the MCAP program is new. We have a program that's called YAZI. That's, I mean, we're almost strapped. We have synthesis strapped to our desks, inputting all this paperwork, and where does the connection with the youth come in anymore? It's getting less and less, or it's, but we are responsible to see them and connect with them and provide for them, but we're at our desks. We go and see the kids, and I do have a notebook that I write all the notes, then I come back to the office and I have to input the notes. We've got lots of contracted people doing, I'm not sure, running programs that used to be run by one or maybe two people. Now we've got
Well, if you could sort of summarize, and if you have some specific recommendations for us, we'd be happy to hear.
I just would like those positions not to be defunded. I know they're vacant. Mm-hmm. And I would hope that if it's possible to put those workers back into the custody intake positions that now are the responsibility of supervisors. Thank you.
It'd be helpful if you did submit something in writing to us so that, you know, we're getting a lot of information today, and if you have something that we could all consider.
I can do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions, comments on item one? We did have a comment card from Rose Stites, but I talked to her, and she said she was concerned about the AOTA funding. She heard some comments this morning, and she's willing to work with people on the ATR program, so she doesn't necessarily need to speak. So, but thanks for coming and submitting the card. So we can move to item three.
Item number three, Org Unit 7900, Department on Aging, page 305.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Mary Proctor Brown is the budget analyst for the Milwaukee County Department on Aging. Tom Condella is our assistant director for fiscal and support services. And I'm Stephanie Stein. I'm the director of the Milwaukee County Department on Aging. I'm happy to report that there are no huge changes in our budget. We maintain service levels. We maintain superior service at our senior centers. Clearly, like every other department, we've developed performance measures. So we add one staff person, which we have the ability to do in our resource center because of